someone is sitting in the shade today because of a tree someone planted a long time ago. What are we doing with our time? This statement of wisdom lets us know we must plan for the future. Thirdly, you can have it all, just not all at once. What are we doing with our time? That statement of wisdom lets us know we must be patient. Time is defined in Scripture, specifically the New Testament, with two Greek words. The first Greek word is the word kairos, and the second Greek word is the word chronos. Now, when you look at these different words, it says that kairos is an ancient Greek word meaning the right or opportune moment. There's a right moment. There's a right time for us to do something. There's a right moment, a right time for God to do something. The second word that the Greeks use, the word chronos, refers to the chronological or sequential time. It signifies a time lapse or a moment of time in the sense of seconds, minutes, hours. It's a chronological time. Then the word management. When we look at the dictionary, management is defined as the act or art of managing, the conducting or supervising of something such as a business, but in our case, time. What are we doing with our time? The statement time flies seems like a literal statement, because if we're not careful and we don't manage time properly, time will get away from us. I want to give you some principles to biblical time management this morning, starting first in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. How many of us know time does not have to be our enemy? Time can actually be a tool for us if we apply it properly. Six principles of biblical time management, and I may not be able to cover all of them this morning, but I do want us to understand that to every purpose, there is a time. The first principle of biblical time management we must understand is we must all prioritize. In other words, putting things in their proper places. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, the writer Matthew says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that ye need them." Verse 33 is our focus. The writer says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, I don't know specifically everybody's lifestyle in the sense of time, But I know by all of us being human, we all have some challenges with time management. Time, in my opinion, after health, is one of the most important things or important tools we can take advantage of. So when you look here, and the principle is that we are to seek first God's kingdom. It's interesting that he says that we are to seek first God's kingdom, but paralleling it with the needs that we have on a daily basis. How many of you know we all need clothes? Sure you do. Cover yourself. Amen. We need food to eat. Is that right? All these different things we need. But here is the challenge. The writer says that we are not to seek these things over God. So the first priority in our life, and many times this is where we make the mistake, is we have to put God first. In the scripture right above naming all the different natural needs that we have, the Bible talks about worshiping two gods, worshiping either the true God or worshiping a statement known as mammon. Now, mammon many times is translated as money, but really money is not an evil thing. It's our trust and confidence in money which makes it evil. So what God is saying here in this scripture is that we have to put him first. So the first aspect of time management is prioritizing. We have to put God first. If I put clothing first, if I put house first, car first, all these other things, relationships, if I put all these other things before God, eventually they will be my objects of worship and they will deplete me. Because God is a sustainer. By his very nature, in creating everything, he sustains everything that he created. So when we put God in his proper place, it actually helps us to operate in the fullness of time. Everything else then becomes a time stealer. How many know you can never have enough clothes? If you really get into it, I mean, you start getting into all the name brands, and I got to have whatever's out there, Zucchini and Gucci and Ralph Lauren and you know, Tyrone Jackson, whoever, whatever the label is. If you get into that, after a while, that will become a god because you must have it. I got a three-bedroom house. That's nice, but I watched Susie. Susie bought a four-bedroom. Well, you know, Johnny, her husband, Johnny, the husband of Irene, went and bought a five. And next thing, you chased out the house sizes. And guess what? It becomes a god. And the priorities are now out of order because you're no longer seeking God. You're now seeking mammon. But God helps us with time management by saying, listen, if you seek me first, early in the morning, seek me. While you're going throughout your day, think about me. That's why you have people depressed and in the same cycles of life going over and over again, because they're seeking things in place of where God should be. But when God is first, he says, I'll add all these other things to you. Why? Because now the source of your joy, the source of your peace and contentment is the one who can actually feel and please you. Many times we're raised thinking, if I can just marry the right person, I'll be happy. That's a lie. If I can just get the right job, I'll be happy. That's a lie. If I can just become a multimillionaire, these are the dreams that we've been sold. That's a lie. Baby, all you need is G-O-D. In the form of J-E-S-U-S. If you get God, he'll add all these other things. We must prioritize first. So then what does Satan do? He's always talking. Anybody ever heard from Satan? You have to raise your hand. I know you have. He's got all of our cell phone number. And he deals right into our mind. You can be thinking about doing the right thing towards God or be thinking about doing, you know, what you're supposed to. And then there goes Satan dialing you up. People, hey, what's going on? And it's just the answer whether or not you go answer the phone or not. Because he going to call. See, it's not a sin for Satan to call you. It's a sin for you to answer and talk to him. And if you do talk to him and you say anything contrary to the word, that's when you get in trouble. Because he want to conversate with you. But you better know he's going to dominate the conversation. And eventually, if you listen long enough, he's going to pull you right on out of your priorities. Seek first. How do we seek God first? I'm glad you asked. The very first thing is you got to give your life to him. Preach, son. See, everybody has a sincerely, now I believe in this room, the majority of the people, but everybody has a sincerely saying, you know what? God, I'm for you now. That's why the scripture says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve them both. You're going to serve somebody. Because if you're really serving somebody, you're going to hate the other one. You can't serve them both at the same time. You either going to serve God or something else. That something else represents mammon. Something else in this world that's pulling your adoration and attention away from the true God. So the first thing we have to do is make a decision to give Jesus Christ our life. To where we understand we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. What price? His blood on the cross. We understand that. So once we give our life to Jesus Christ, that's the first step. The next thing is when we're talking about prioritizing, God is saying, listen, my relationship with God is so important that I make sure I make time for him first. So Sunday morning, I'm in church. That's guaranteed. That's non-negotiable. Amen. You'd be amazed the calls I get and the different things and, you know, people, I need this and I want that. And, you know, ain't nowhere near church. But out of scripture and out of love, there's a level of assistance that I always give. But at the same time, I'm saying, baby, listen, if you could just get this priority thing right, get your consistency with God right, listen, you'll begin to see the prosperity you're looking for from me. What I did is no different than what you can do. I put him first. Here's the scripture, seek ye first. I gotta give mother a hand. That say something. Three surgeries hurting, but in her spirit she say, "No, he's first." There's always an excuse you can make. Y'all pray for me. I mean that. There's always an excuse, but let me help you. Just like you can make an excuse for not doing things for God, you can make excuses for doing things for God. And guess what? When you start making those excuses, you're going to see life increase, life enhance, the blessing of God change. Time management is about priorities. What's first in your life? Is it your belly? Is it your body? Is it your relationships, who you know, what you own, what you have? What is your priority? Let me tell you this. When we get to heaven, all these other stuff, these other things won't matter no way. So we might as well get it in line here. And if we get it in line here, we'll be so passionate about God, a lot of these things we're concerned about will begin to fade. That's why he says, if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Because that stops idolatry right there. And a lot of times we don't realize we have idolatry issues. Sometimes we need to sit down and just analyze our lives. What do I really worship? Because I can say, Jesus, 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 hey, Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, it's something else. So we have to put him first. Time management requires that I put him first. See, when he's first, everything else begins to fall in line. Amen. How many know following God will help your diet? Following God will help your marriage? Following God will help your finances. Following God will help your parenting skills. Following God will help you on your job. If he's first, everything else will be, it'll be added. Amen.
You're listening to Pastor Hilton Wells, pastor of Rivers of Living Water Church. If this message has been a blessing to you, we invite you to join us at one of our two locations. Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Visit us at our 1711 Monroe Street, Alexandria location, or on Wednesdays at 7 p.m.